Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Author Chats. I'm Elizabeth Kelly. Today we are eager to have with us Lynn Nanos, a licensed social worker, to discuss her important and much-needed book titled Breakdown, A Clinician's Experience in a Broken System of Emergency Psychiatry. Welcome, Lynn. Well, I see her in the queue, but for whatever reason, she's dropped, so hopefully she will call back. In any event, as I said, Breakdown is a much-needed book because it shines a light on the inner workings of the mental health system in this country, and it shows how many profoundly mentally ill people, seriously mentally ill people, just fall through the cracks. And the story began probably about 50 years ago when President John Kennedy signed the legislation that basically closed or began the process of closing state institutions, which basically warehoused so many people with mental disabilities. The intent was good. That system was going to be replaced by a strong network of community health care, which was going to provide, if you will, all the wraparound services for people with mental disabilities, like housing, transportation, assistance with jobs, medication, what have you. Unfortunately, for a variety of different reasons, that goal was never achieved. And I see Lynn back in the queue. Are you there, Lynn?
I'm right here.
Wonderful. Well, I don't know if you heard, but I set up story, if you will, and I told our listeners how our mental health system in this country began to be so broken. So if you could basically introduce yourselves to our listeners and tell them who you are and why you wrote this book.
I am a mobile emergency social worker, and by mobile, I mean the evaluations take place anywhere in the community, literally, including sidewalks, homeless shelters, personal homes. And I wrote Breakdown because I was alarmed by the astronomical rates of readmission to both emergency services and inpatient. And I wanted to learn why this was happening. So I began researching on a macro level and also started advocating with others, mostly family members throughout the country. And I found that in the clinical setting, it was impossible to influence legislation and in any way. And my hope is that this book lands in the laps of legislators and people in power who can hopefully expand the use of assisted outpatient treatment and include this in the three states that do not allow it, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Maryland.
Okay. I'm going to interrupt you because you have touched upon lots of issues that I want to explore. First of all, you alluded to the fact that people with mental illness often end up in emergency rooms. And as you also point out in the jail, they also end up, sadly, in our jails and our prisons. Why is this happening?
It's happening because the mental health system is not set up to do what it's really supposed to do, which is treat people for their illnesses. The civil commitment laws, in other words, the involuntary hold laws, are way too restrictive in many states. And this makes it very difficult for well-meaning clinicians to get patients who need inpatient into inpatient. In other words, they show up at the hospital emergency room and are too often released prematurely, or on the back end, they are released from inpatient units too soon and unstable. And when they're released in that condition, inevitably they're going to need another rehospitalization. And when people are unstable, their judgment is extremely poor, and that puts them in positions where they can easily get arrested. Another concern, which is a public safety concern, is the risk of people inflicting serious violence, even murder, against others because of delusional beliefs. And that, of course, ends up imprisoning them.
Sure, sure. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Author Chats. I'm Elizabeth Kelly, and we were talking with Lynn Nanos, a licensed social worker, about her compelling new book titled Break Clinicians' Experience in a Broken System of Emergency Psychiatry. Now, Lynn, several moments ago, you mentioned the term assisted outpatient treatment. What is that, and what does it involve?
So, otherwise known as AOT, it involves a very small subset of the mentally ill population. These are people who oftentimes don't understand that they are ill and therefore don't abide by treatment recommendations. And AOT involves usually courts that order treatment. And research has found that when judges order the treatment, the patients are more likely to follow through because the judge is in a position of power and has a lot of influence. And this is called the black robe effect. And all research has shown that AOT has effectively reduced rates of homelessness, incarcerations, readmissions, violence. It has also improved self-care in this extremely sick population. And
well, I'm going to play devil's advocate for a moment. Critics of AOT say that it constitutes a profound deprivation of civil liberties. What's your response?
Well, I disagree, hence you're playing devil's advocate. People with dementia don't have the right to be ill. People with diabetes don't have the right to have unstable blood sugars. And when there is too much concern about an individual's rights, that takes the rights of others away in the cases in which violence can happen. And in Breakdown, I detail several cases in which there was too much concern for the sick person's rights, and consequently, people got killed because...
Well, one of the terms you use is dying with their rights on.
That's right, yes.
Another term that you use in the book that, in fact, you use it rather frequently is a word that many of our listeners may never have encountered. It's anosognosia. What is that?
That is basically lack of awareness of being ill. It's a brain-based problem. It's not denial. Denial suggests that the person is willfully not acknowledging the problem, whereas anosognosia cannot be controlled by the person. And this is seen in advanced stages of dementia as well.
Mm-hmm. And a condition that is a variation on that is malingering. And tell our listeners what malingering is and why you're so bothered by it.
Just yesterday I had another case of malingering, and there is no anosognosia in malingering. Malingering mm-hmm. is intentional deceit. It's lying. And the most common form of this is stating that one is suicidal. And this is often done for three hots and a cot. These people are wanting inpatient treatment for... Right. They're wanting inpatient for the wrong reasons. And it's not always homelessness. It can be that they are hiding from the law. They're not ready to face a warrant, or they are being threatened by a peer in a illicit drug exchange. And these people are literally taking precious, limited bed space away from the truly sick people who need these inpatient beds. We already have a nationwide inpatient bed shortage, and it's not fair that these people who are malingering are taking away these beds from people who really need them. And many times in my practice that hospitals are much more likely to move on to inpatient malingerers over truly psychotic people with anosognosia and not wanting any help.
Interesting. Well, you mentioned people, one of the reasons why people are malingering is they're running for the law. What has been your experience, and you practice in the state of Massachusetts, what has been your experience with law enforcement? How well do they do when they encounter people with serious mental illness?
There are a few crisis intervention teams.
CIT
these are police
training.
Officers, right, specialized in mental health. And I work very closely with such a team. And those officers do much better with handling the mentally ill population because they have learned empathy and risk factors for psychotic decompensation. And I have encountered police officers inappropriately talking with patients and making the situation worse. In the one case I'm thinking of, the police officer very abruptly said to the patient who I was trying to involuntarily get to the hospital that there is no feces in the food. Her delusion was that. And he was too abrupt with her, and consequently, she almost defaulted me, whereas I think a CIT officer would not have handled it that way.
Yeah, basically, these people with serious mental illness are often manifesting the symptoms of their illness, and they're agitated when they see people in uniform, when sometimes they're not capable of following a command like put your hands up, and a horrible situation becomes even more dire. Lynn, it's been wonderful talking with you. Thank you so much for writing this book, and thank you for joining us here on Author Chats.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And thank you to all of my listeners. You've been listening to Author Chats. I'm Elizabeth Kelly, and we've been speaking with Lynn Nanos, a licensed social worker, about her important new book titled Breakdown, A Clinician's Experience in a Broken System of Emergency Psychiatry. Thanks again, and please remember, injustice anywhere threatens justice everywhere. Have a good day.